time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Worsh. Have fun, guys.
Thank you, Sam. We're going to try. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. Welcome to the second funniest podcast.
Thank you.
With me, as always, is the one.
Yeah.
The only.
I love it.
The early adopter.
Here it comes.
The.
Yeah.
The Kevin Miller.
That's the best.
Jump and press circle button, Kevin.
Hey, you too. How long have you been doing that whole longest intro of my name ever possible?
I think almost this whole year.
Yeah.
I think it started this year.
Yeah, I feel like it.
Because I had started once the show became more centered around your celebrity, I felt like we need to ramp it up a notch, if you would. Oh, look at that. I put a fade in there. I'm an idiot. I've been doing this whole time when I can just...
It's time for...
Oh, that's not that's why.
Great.
That's why I do it.
That's really great.
Well done, Justin. Well done.
Do I sound like I wear a sweater vest?
Yes, you do, Sam. Yes, you do. Well, it's an old one. That's a good one.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kevin. I'm your biggest fan.
That's you. I was like, where did that come from? So here's what I have to talk about.
Get your Comic-Con. Get your Comic-Con. Get your Comic-Con.
There, I was at Comic-Con 2011 San Diego. Now, before I preface this, because I was talking to Kevin a little bit before the show started, I'm going to turn this up even more. I was not there as a guest. I was there working. And so I don't know a lot about what's going on because I was working with street marketing teams out on the downtown San Diego. But I can tell you a little bit about what I saw in this psychology. First of what I want to say is the first time I walked the floor of Comic-Con.
And what does that mean for those of us that are never been to Comic-Con?
Yeah.
I heard somebody today, I was at a comic book store, and the guy was saying the floor and talking about people camping out in front of halls for days.
Yes.
What does it look like?
They have a convention center that I would guess is about as long as a football field or longer, and multiple floors, so all the panel rooms are above it. And to the left of it are these, like, walkways of sidewalks. And most of them are covered from the sun. And people just hang out there. That was another thing that I noticed about the psychology of it is that as a nerd culture is really willing to sit in a line for something.
And like, complain about it.
They do. Like, everybody, like, and I also know, I mean, I know that my friend has been going to Comic-Con San Diego for 14 years at least. I don't know how long it's been around, but... The city really does a good job of making sure that the traffic moves well in the area and that people can... I mean, there's a ton of people there.
I would like to know why San Diego became the hub of comic. Like, who decided San Diego? Why not New York? Why not L.A.? Why not San Francisco?
I think it was probably because of the price. I mean, if you think about it, and I don't know, maybe I'm not... I don't know San Diego that well, but other than Comic-Con, what else happens in San Diego?
Well, you got the SeaWorld. They're not unfamiliar to...
No, they're a metropolis,
sure,
but I'm saying they're not a destination. You know what I mean?
I would think they are. I mean, in terms of California cities or just West Coast cities?
I would qualify them as being the poor man's Los Angeles as far as vacation destination.
That might be true.
Or
but
somebody
they have
who's
like,
I like the idea of going to Southern California. I don't like smog. I don't like a ton of people. And I'm not interested in Hollywood tours. Then San Diego is the perfect place. You have theme parks.
Yeah.
You got
it all.
Yeah,
Disneyland's an hour away.
Everything, yeah.
And he got a decent economy.
Probably more than I think it's like an hour and a half.
I guess it depends.
There's a lot of traffic, surprisingly, between San Diego and Los Angeles. Like a lot of and San Diego drivers love to just stop on the freeway. Just be like, hey, guess what? I know we're cruising at about 70 miles an hour. Let's shut that down.
What are they looking at?
I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but they just slam on their brakes.
Wow.
And if you don't have following distance, you're gonna hurt at somebody's car.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
So yeah, so walking the exhibition hall, like it was amazing because I've talked about a little bit on the show that I think until recently, what was it? I think it was until I had my son actually that I didn't realize how much of an interest I had in this kind of subculture for whatever you can call it, or what is becoming the culture.
Yeah. There are millions. There are dozens of us. I ruined the joke.
But yeah, I. it was interesting that I'm walking around, I'm like, oh my God, there's a 20-foot Optimus Prime. There's going to be a new Transformer show. Oh my God, that's so great. Oh my.
How many girls in Princess Leia outfits?
Oh, so many. That's a whole other topic.
Oh, I can't wait to get there.
There's and then it's like you have to understand, this is something that I mean, you saw my entire comic book collection when I was a kid. It was all of 20 comics.
And should see mine.
12 of them were Spider-Man, and 6 were Iron Man. The rest were, let's see, what was it? It was some Superman thrown in there.
Right.
And I think that was about it. Maybe what was that one that was weird? I don't remember. But anyway.
Do you have any X-Men?
No.
Really?
I love this animated series. I loved it as a kid. That was kind of my first thing into, like, oh, I really like this idea of superheroes.
Yeah.
But, I'm walking around. I'm seeing all these cool. There were things that I didn't even know what they were that I was drawn to. Like, it's like this weird visceral response. I think it's the same argument that people have about vegetarians, where it's like, if you smell cooked meat, you start to salivate. You know what I mean? I was walking by, like, you go, the center part of the hall is the big guys. Right. The left part of the hall, as you're walking in the door, is mainly for autographs, and then it kind of gets into independent area. And then as you go to the right, that's like collectors. There are people there who are there to buy and sell comics, or they just are showing off their goods. Like, look at what I have, you know.
And they're not even selling; they're just like, I'm a collector. Look at my collection.
Have, like, I think they called them fan tables, where if you like, you could go up and see. Like, there was a whole exhibit, and I know it's not small, but it was equally as big. I was there working for Nickelodeon, and it was just as big as Nickelodeon's booth. But it was just like, look at these cool collectibles.
Biggest Nickelodeon's
that we have.
What?
Booth.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What did I say?
I heard boob.
A boob? But speaking of boob, oh my gosh.
Princess Leia.
So many boobs. So
just
many
any nip slips?
Boobs. Hold on. No.
Okay.
No, I did not. I had to go through the Rolodex. That's how fast, ladies, just so you know. That's how fast I could go through the Rolodex of 250,000 people at Comic-Con, I'm guessing, somewhere around there. I think that somebody said 150,000, and I don't believe that.
That's a lot.
But, I can't get off topic. So anyway, so I'm walking through.
It's all on topic. It's all on topic.
What is it? Bags and boards? Was that the phrase that you used when we went to the comic book store? So I just start picking. I walk by a table of just a guy who has a ton of old comics, and I happen to catch the eye of Tales of Suspense.
Yeah.
Now, through my digital app that I have on my iPhone, and I've read the Tales of Suspense because I'm a big Iron Man fan, I happen to see, I'm like, I can see the real thing. And I'd go to it. Like, I left the people I was walking around with beforehand. And this is before anything is even open. I just walk over. I start picking this stuff up. Like, I had this visceral, uncontrollable response that I'm like, I want to pick this up and read it. Now, here's what I'm missing. I'm like a nerd that was raised by wolves. And the wolves were rednecks. Because
I don't know
the etiquette. I don't understand why I can't just pick it up and get my oily fingers all into it and read it right there in front of everybody.
And did anybody say anything?
No, I just picked it up because I kind of had an understanding. Again, it's all like buried deep in me.
If you grabbed like a stack of them, they'd be pissed. But if you grabbed one, it's okay. As far as I understand, I mean, if they have a stack of them out, they want you to touch them.
Yeah. Well, they weren't out. They were just, they were in the little cardboard drawers where they were there to pick up and put down. Like, I've seen
them. But they were in a plastic bag.
Yes.
Oh, then you were fine.
Okay. Well, I wanted to take it out. Like, I wanted to take it out and flip through the pages like a magazine and a CD.
How old was it?
Tales of Suspense is back in the late 50s. Yeah. They would have. Yeah. There's also this part of me, too, because I was raised by wolves, in that I see like action figures in the box that I go, oh, my son would love that.
And
I wanted to go up to it and just drop $30 on an Iron Man action figure and go, my 2-year-old is going to love this, and just walk away.
Some of them, they wouldn't let you. I was in a comic book store today, and this family came in specifically looking for Hulk because he's not in the stores right now because he doesn't have a thing out. And they were like, oh, what about those? And the guy's like, they're miniatures. They're for display only, and they're made of lead. You don't want your kid having these. And they're like, but can't we just, he's like, you don't want it. He's like, you give it to him, he's going to hurt himself or he's going to throw it or he's going to swallow it. It's made of lead.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So they bought a scroll. Fine. Enough.
Well, that's like, Natalie, I think I've told this story that Natalie bought that Spider-Man and Green Goblin for Jacob, and they're literally meant to stay in the box. You could tell the way the action figures are designed that they look unbelievably cool. But if you play with them, they just fall apart.
Right.
Thankfully, they're easily to, like, you could snap. It's really just Green Goblin. He has hip dysplasia. So anytime he raises his knee, it's like, It's like John McCain with his shoulders. If he lifts his knee, like he can't do any kind of Pele kick or a knee bounce or anything like that. His leg just falls off.
So you were wandering around Comic-Con before anybody was there, and you were able to touch stuff that was sitting out. You could have walked off with some...
No, there were guys there watching the stuff. Yeah, they were all still built. But it's like literally scissor lifts and huge cranes are going like... Yeah, it's insane the amount of work that goes into these things that there's just... Beep, beep,
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, look out.
Imagine that's what E3 is like.
And then there's this constant, like, I would love to have this voiceover gig. There's this constant, exhibitors, please return to your booth. Clogged aisles will slow the opening of Comic-Con. Like, and they play that throughout. Exhibitors, please return to your booth. They use congested aisles will slow the opening of the exhibit hall.
What, because they're out visiting each other, or?
Yeah, I think that it's, everybody's there for the same reason. That's the other aspect of what, let me make sure I covered everything. Because I did a whole lap through. I didn't go through too much where the merchandise stuff. That's kind of where I stopped because I was.
And there was a video game section that you didn't spend a lot of time.
No, I did. Well, I walked by it. Like I went back there, and because you were talking, I think you're hinting at the fact that I couldn't find Guild Wars for you.
Yeah.
And I was, and I walked. Here's what happened. That was the end of my tour, right? I walk back. I see City of Heroes. I go, Kevin loves that game.
Yeah.
And I go, that's great. That's cool. You know. And then I walk away. Just like, so they had City of Heroes. And then on the back left side of that booth was Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
And so they had like playable, like you could go up and play Guild Wars 2 and that was it.
Yeah,
and
then
they had
the engineer.
A panel that they did. And then from what I found was that you could, they had like postcard signings of the artists. And I tried to do that today, but I couldn't do
so
it.
So angry. Oh, bummer. I'm sorry. Thank you for trying. I forgive you.
And so then that was the other thing is that on the left is all the autograph tables. So they have all the names of everybody's that's going to be there. You had mentioned the name Peter David, who I guess draws for X Factor.
Writes
for X Factor. So I went through there and couldn't find his name because he wasn't signing autographs. But I later found out he did a ton of panels.
Yeah, I believe it.
And
he's big. So She-Hulk. He writes for She-Hulk, or he used to.
So what does that lead me to? Is that, so I had the visceral response. Let me check.
You're
going to
talk
notes.
About boobs?
Boobs. Let's talk about that. So what I was expecting, and I guess on Wednesday is preview day and industry professionals is primarily what is that little half evening that they have on Wednesday night. So even like the guys at Nickelodeon were like, let's not go crazy with our giving away of stuff because it's mostly industry professionals. We want to save it for the real fans that are coming later on. And
the ones that are paying $100 to $200 to walk in the door.
Yeah. And it's, I found out, I mentioned, I thought it was $125 for the week. It's $100, or for the day. It's $125
for the week.
So that's not bad.
That's not bad.
So, so I go in there.
It's $175 next year.
Well, and somebody was saying that it went from $75 to $125 this year.
Wow.
That's how, because there was a bunch of mentioning of the fact that they're going to have to find another space because there's just getting... Like, a lot of them felt like there wasn't enough room for everyone.
Yeah.
And the aisleways in certain spots felt super congested, but...
But that
I
means other vendors weren't there. Because apparently there was hardly any films this year, where in the past it's been a lot of movies, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of television shows being pushed. There was some video game stuff being pushed. Weirdly enough, I didn't feel... And maybe it's because it's not what I'm aware of. Like, my antenna aren't tuned to that. But not a lot of comic books.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's
being pushed. And is that me misunderstanding the point?
No, that's you understanding the point and the vendors not understanding the point. It's a big issue.
Vendors, I think you mean the people organizing Comic-Con?
The people actually deciding to put a booth in. Because once it stopped being about, as I understand, about 5 years ago, it stopped being about comic books and started being about anything that would be featured on The Big Bang Theory. Like, if it's geeky at all, that's where you go.
Well, they kept doing this. They called it the Celebration of Popular Arts.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think
it's the pop art convention.
You know how they have, like, there's impressionistic art, abstract art, and I think they're calling comics the popular art.
Pop art is the way of saying it. But anything is pop art. TV, film, popular music, that's all considered pop art.
And it seems to me that the big guys bring in their stars, and then people wait in line forever to get an autograph
with
them.
That's exactly it,
And they had the guys from Bob's Burger, which I thought was funny because it got canceled. They had, who else did, that's the other thing, too, is like, who do you see? They had Seth Green there a bunch. Yeah. He was out on the streets of downtown giving out ice cream, and then the cops shut him down because I guess it was getting too crazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other celebrities. I saw Conan O'Brien. Oh. They had they took an art gallery in downtown, and they went, I think they called it Coco Mocha. is what they call it, and it stands for Coco, Modern Art or something. They shortened up the word to art or something in there. Maybe modern contemporary art. I don't know. But it was a bunch of like his Flaming Sea character that I think Robert Smigel created for him on the Ambiguous Gay Duo. Threw Conan O'Brien in there as the Flaming Sea. There's a lot of him in that superhero outfit and an actual size Flaming Sea made out of logos was in the front window.
Out of logos, Pepsi, Winston.
And so he comes out and it was interesting because I was walking around with the street teams and all of a sudden there's just this mob and people are screaming. And you saw where it was. I'm like, it has to be him. Mm. And the amount of love that these people have for him is almost, if you're him, it's frightening.
Right.
I would imagine. Like, all I could think about is how much I had this weird kind of thing I'm not so proud of, but I had this weird desire.
I punched a baby.
To be in that position. Because I really feel like I talk to a lot of people who have fans.
Yeah.
You know, I interact with a lot of people who have fans. And I know that I have some, you know what I mean? But not a lot.
I'm
a
fan.
Thank you.
I have
You're my one.
By the way, can you sign this? Please sign this.
I would sign any. That's my point, is that I really think and I really feel that it's become cool to kind of be just dismissive to your fans. And I don't think that that's fair or right.
Because if I go and see a concert, like if I see, it's funny because if I see like Coldplay or REM, that all they do every song, thanks for being here. We're so glad you're here. Trying to make the audience feel like
we appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you for spending an unnecessary amount of money to hear a song you can listen to at home. But then if you go and see like Kiss, from what I've seen there, they're like, you don't even deserve to be here. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the style of the music. So like that hard rock.
Like, I know a comic who, honestly, like, I don't want to throw their name out because I think they're a decent person. I think they're doing what they think a star does when they've reached that level.
Justin
Warsham. Like, they've had a very fast rise. Yeah.
Justin Warsham.
Yes. And they, I'm going to have to explain.
That part was deleted.
No. Well, it's just funny. We got an email that made me laugh while I was gone on the road, which was great because I was so exhausted and that made me laugh. And I'll play it real quick. But every time I say or anything, it reminds me of this. Oh, this is going to be horrible if I can't find it right away. So
always hit pause.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Okay. So I found it. So he's got,
it only took 45 minutes.
He's got me. This is from our good friend Philip that we played Uncharted with. And he said that he made a small M compilation from episode 317, small part of a big project he's working on.
Oh, no.
And this is part of what I'm talking about, too. This is why I want to bring this in, is that it's really, it means a lot. Like, it means a lot to me that we have people that like this show this much. That they spend this amount of time. I don't care if it took him 5 minutes to do this. Just that the fact that he would take the time to do this makes me so unbelievably happy.
Well done.
That was great. Thank you so much. I was laughing hysterically at my Holiday Inn Express in Northern San Diego.
That needs to be our new intro. Or at least our outro.
It made me so happy. So Conan was outside, and he's getting mobbed by these people, and he's just signing autographs. And I've heard other interviews about this guy and how appreciative he is and of the fact that he had enough fan following and people pulling for him, and like the whole fan reaction is what just gave him a lot of leverage to get a new show from the Tonight Show. And he's signing it, and then there's a point where I'm like, I start to go, man, he's getting mobbed right now. Yeah. Like, he's NSYNC. Like, this is why guys have security.
And then he became Flaming Sea.
Yeah. And then somebody...
Back off, citizens.
Somebody hucked something at him. Like, and I thought it was underwear or something like that. It was just small and yellow. And I go... And that's what made me stop because I was like, oh, it's Conan. Oh, how cool. He's signing all these autographs. Like, yeah. In the time it took me to walk around the corner, it was probably at least 5 minutes or something to get around his mob that I was taking. And he was just furiously trying to sign as many autographs as he could. Yeah. Just in... Literally, he was walking 2 feet. Two to three. The width of a sidewalk to get into his... museum that they had closed it down for him to kind of walk through and enjoy, and there was no camera crew there. There was nothing for his show there. It was just him being there because he has fans and they love him. And he's just going. He's like, just a mile, like just going nuts. And then he gets in there, and oh, this person throws something at him, and I was like, oh no, like, and I stop because I'm like. I want to know, like, this is honestly what went through my mind. I go, I think I'm about to see Conan snap at something.
Yeah, he's going to go all Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and that I'm going to see the YouTube live, though. Yeah, like, I'm going to see it before it hits YouTube. And he finds it, like, he picks it up, and he goes, did somebody throw an angry bird at me? And there are these people that had angry bird pillows also in the crowd. I don't know if he does a lot of bits about angry birds. I haven't watched the show in a long time, but he goes, stop doing that. He goes, they don't... It's popular enough. They don't need any promotion. Are you kidding me right now? And then while he's doing this, he's still signing. And he goes, guys, thank you so very much for everything you've done for me. I can't thank you enough. Thank you, guys. And then nobody walked away angry that they didn't get Conan. Cool. Like they went, everybody cheered and goes, and he goes inside. He goes, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. And he went inside.
Wow.
And everybody kind of dispersed. Like that's the other thing is that when stuff happens. At Comic-Con, like giveaways, like that was what I was doing. Like randomly, we just start giving out T-shirts. And people,
what were they for?
The T-shirts I was giving away were we had Monkey Quest, which is an online game, I guess, that Nickelodeon's a part of. I'm not familiar with it. I think it's like one of those kid, like massive multiplayer online games. And there might be a show. I don't think so. But I was also there for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I'm very excited about.
I am. Like, I auditioned for that.
I'm going to get the movies.
I did not get it.
I saw the cast. You trust me. Were you auditioning to be a turtle?
Yeah.
Oh, you had no chance.
Well, here's the deal. I'll tell my story.
Yeah.
Raphael went through probably a dozen casting before they finally landed on it. Like several iterations. And the guy who plays Michelangelo actually played him the first time back in the 90s. And they
played Michelangelo or Raphael?
I think Michelangelo. I'm telling two stories. So the guy who created Michelangelo, they wanted a whole new cast. It eventually went back to him. He got the role.
Yeah.
But Raphael, they had the hardest time reading for it. And I think every single white guy, or maybe every single black guy in the world that's got an agent read for Raphael. So who did they eventually get?
Greg Sipes, I want to say is his name, and he's on the Ben 10 show.
Oh, yeah,
you might have to double check. But Rob Paulsen,
yes,
which is what the fans went nuts for, is playing Donatello.
And who's amazing.
He voiced the original Donatello in the original series.
He's incredible. He's in everything. There's pretty much no cartoon you're watching without Rob Paulsen.
He's like the admiral to Nolan North.
Yes. Yeah. Nolan North thanks you for putting you in the same sentence with Rob Paulsen.
I want to say that Nolan mentioned him on that episode.
Probably. I mean, he's pretty much the pinnacle of voiceovers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine anybody being in this generation. He's like a Mel Blanc, of current voiceovers. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's cool. So it's Jason Biggs is Leonardo. Sam Ashton is... Michelangelo, and then Greg Sipes is Raphael, and then Donatello is Rob Paulsen.
That's great.
I'm pretty sure I got that right. I might have switched.
I mean, those are all big names. That's the thing that's so funny is that they read me, next to nobody compared to those guys. But I know Mick will talk about it. He's like, I read for that show so many times. He's like, they sent out the turtles.
I saw our friend Mick there. I didn't see him, but somebody showed a picture of him. I was so excited I'm getting way ahead of myself.
So many comics get to Comic-Con.
The one thing I want to say is that when they give out stuff at Comic-Con, it's interesting. I liken it to ants on a carcass. Like if you see a time-lapse video of a fox that died in the forest and descend on it, and then when it's clean and it's just bones, how they all retreat. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So when you have T-shirts, like boom, they flock to you, and then as soon as everything's gone, they just they just spread out and move on.
Your impression... Oh, Monkey Quest looks good. I'd play that game.
It's really well put together.
It looks like I'm playing Empires and Allies on Facebook because my brother's into it, and this looks like on that quality level.
I'm judging by the fans that were like found us and were like, oh my gosh, Monkey Quest stuff. It seems like it's a decent game, like a really well put.
Oh my gosh, Monkey Quest!
Yeah, that's
Monkey Quest. Well, they're like superpowered monkeys. Well, that's the thing is that you're describing the light side of Comic-Con, which is a side that I appreciate and have never really heard of fans actually behaving like well mannered, enthusiastic, uncynical fans.
That was the thing that I thought was so great about it was that there was this overall tone of just politeness and kindness and just friendly.
See, I don't doubt you. I have a feeling that people, when they go there, that everybody's in the same universe, so everybody's just like, all right, this is fun. And then when they come home, the cynicism just drapes over them like a Gen X cloak. And then suddenly I'm hearing about, oh, yeah, it was all right. It was better last year. It was okay.
There was some of that, but it didn't seem like I see what you're saying. There was no nerd rage like I expected. I expected there to be a lot more nerd rage. The only angry moment that happened that I saw
was an angry bird.
I wish one pigeon did attack a guy. But was the guy that was scalping tickets out front on the last day that I was there. We're recording this on Sunday. I just got back from Comic-Con, and the last day we were Comic-Con. There, these chicks were running, I think, to get to a panel or something like that, and this guy had just been walking up and down the main street there, 5th Street, and he's like, Comic-Con tickets. And he had no business being there. Like, you could just tell he was that guy. He would be at the Padres game doing the same thing.
Right.
And some chick, kind of quickly dodged around him, and she scared him. He's like, yeah, watch it, you fat bastard.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, and I go, really? Like, I forgot where I was and what I was wearing, but I said out loud, I go, really? Really? The 5'2" chick in a bent cowboy hat who's wet, $1.20 wet, she's the fat bastard?
You said that out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
I go, really? Come on, buddy. He didn't hear me, but I made the girl who was there, what was she marketing? I think Covert Affairs or something, some other TV show. I made her laugh. Like, she was like, right? You know?
What were the tickets?
Where were they?
How much?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I wanted to. I wanted to go up to him, but I thought it would be because I had an exhibitor's badge on, so I figured I could get in anyway. But yeah, it was very nice, very friendly. Everybody was super cool. Even the lines, like you just felt like a nerd Woodstock.
Yeah, that's
what I would liken it to.
This is what I'm so disappointed about myself is that for years I've been like, Comic-Con, why trouble myself with it? And then this weekend after getting married, I guess, she's like, why didn't you want to go to Comic-Con? And it's like suddenly like a lightning bolt hit me in the back of the brain. Why didn't I want to go to a Comic-Con? And then when Aaron Jameson texted me and said, hey, Guild Wars 2 stuff is here, I almost broke my phone in half. Like, the nerd rage of feeling shut out.
I could have given you my exhibitor's badge and you could have gone in there. Because the only bad part about it, honestly, is walking the exhibit hall with everyone there at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just really hard to move in those aisleways. But once you get into the booth,
How big is the booth?
It depends. I mean, the Guild Wars booth was not busy, even while the exhibit hall was open.
They're idiots.
They had maybe six computers set up in the corner, and their booth, I'm guessing, was 15 by 10.
I watched a guy play it for like 10 minutes, which tells me, and nobody was waiting behind it, where I saw other screens empty. I'm like, it's Guild Wars 2,
Most of the traffic that I saw was in the aisleways. There wasn't a lot of traffic within the booths. I mean, the Nickelodeon booth got a little weird, but that's where I was all the time.
Do you think they're looking for panels? Like, why do people go to Comic-Con then, if they're not...
I don't know. I wish I could answer that. I
thought you were a psychology expert.
Well, I think it's because of that Woodstock mentality. Is that... Because here's my other part of the psychology of it that I saw. I was expecting on day one to be just... tons of costumes, like the opening of Harry Potter is what I was expecting to see,
and it wasn't.
It was a lot of like just regular people, and I was like, I think what I'm seeing is the product of the shift of like what we talked about on the show that Chris Hardwick realized that a huge number of billions of dollars were being spent on movies to target a more nerdy or geeky audience. That's where media was shifting because that's where the money was coming from. And he's like, now we have a Nerdist culture. And you see these, like, chicks that you would think one night would be at a bar, you know what I mean, just dancing on a bar or whatever, with just humongous fake boobs and, like, midriff shirts and Daisy Duke shorts.
Really?
Walking with guys that look like they just left a kegger at USC to come down to Comic-Con. Those were the kind of people that were walking around there, and they were pretty close to being the majority, or if not a 40-60 split.
And, you know, and that's exciting, because that means, if that's true, that means our culture has shifted to a place where fantasy and fun is celebrated instead of it being very serious and real.
This is the problem that I had, though, too, is that the people that were dressed up, like, you, when you see them outside the exhibit hall, like, I would look at them, and I wanted to, but I was afraid that it would come across like I was mocking them, was that I saw them and they wouldn't make eye contact with you.
Oh,
like,
really?
You can't. I mean, honestly, I find it very hard for a person to walk around in an Imperial soldier outfit, you know what I mean, where you're not covered by a mask and just feel comfortable in your own skin walking around downtown San Diego. You know what I mean?
And at Comic-Con, though,
Exactly. But see, I think once you get in the exhibit hall,
oh,
you know what
you're
mean?
Like,
because then
you're
once
in safe town.
But then there's also people who are dressing up for the fun of it.
Yep.
There's people who I think are dressing up almost to make fun of the idea of dressing up.
Oh, like post-ironic.
And then there are people who take it very seriously. They've spent a lot of time and energy. And it's interesting to watch, like, regular families. Like, I hope this doesn't sound racist, but it's just, to me, like, a nerdy culture seems like you picture, like, what they were kind of making fun of on the Today Show. You know what I mean? That stereotype of white guy, very, you know, skinny and gaunt, you know, kind of thing. And so when you see, like, a Mexican family of three, like, a guy who you think, I don't know what he would do for a living,
right,
but just
a
regular blue-collar guy is like, let me get a picture with my son and you, Master Chief.
You know what I mean?
I don't even think he knew he was dressed as Master Chief, but, like, there was a group dressed up as the Justice League, and none of them looked anything like the Justice League.
They just had costumes
on. There was a mob around them outside the convention center, and I just thought, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because you're describing West Hollywood on Halloween.
Yes.
Because people just take pictures with each other in their costumes.
In their costumes.
And we walk by
random
one.
Strangers, no celebrity whatsoever.
Nothing.
Which made me think it would be incredibly funny to get, like, a Conan O'Brien in a Flash costume, something that would cover his hair and the majority of his face, and just let him walk around and interact with people. Because if they knew who he was really, they would lose their mind.
Oh, man.
I would love for him to even build, like, an oversized latex rubber Conan O'Brien costume that you could put Conan O'Brien in.
This is a great
idea. Or to get
somebody
from the Twilight cast to just dress up as the Green Lantern or something, to where
we have got to put this together.
You know what I mean? Like, I wish I knew somebody famous. Exactly. That's why I was like, if I had a talk show right now, I would be sitting on Comedy Gold that we could do every year at Comic-Con, and then eventually would be, Are you the real guy?
Are you the real guy? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because imagine,
like,
if there's a way that you could get a makeup artist to dress up Harrison Ford as Han Solo, but not make it look like Harrison Ford. I mean, just so you could get that moment of somebody getting judgy towards him, or, you know what I mean? Or he gets to be kind of a jerk.
Well, it's like Charlie Chaplin would lose Charlie Chaplin lookalike contests. He would go to those contests, put his makeup on, and he would lose.
Yeah. Yeah, and so
what was the best costume you saw? Was it the I just typed in cosplay Comic-Con and I got Lego cosplay. People dressed up as the Lego characters.
The best costume
from Star
that
Wars.
I saw,
it's pretty sweet,
was a disco stormtrooper.
That disco stormtrooper.
I took a picture of it on my phone. I'll try and show you
that wins.
If it's good enough. I only took it to, like, show you, so I don't know if it's good enough to put on the Facebook, and if it's not, I'm sorry, but he had, like, his stormtrooper helmet was all bedazzled and glittered up. Like,
bedazzled, I love it.
You probably can't. He's starting to take it off. But see right there? And he's wearing a Saturday Night Fever white tuxedo or leisure suit type situation.
With a bedazzled helmet. That's
and that's the other
great.
Thing that I thought was interesting is that, you know, there's a little bit of the Halloween slutty. There's a lot of Wolverine. A lot of awkward
Wolverines. Oh, is there a lot of Wolverine? And a lot of what Wolverine?
Awkward Wolverine.
Oh, I thought you said Aquaman Wolverine.
No. Like, this guy, to me, the guy that we're looking at, he looks cool.
He looks good. He's got
blood
on him.
But then there are guys who just, like, they just grew a beard, and they look nothing like Wolverine, but they have, like, a tank top on and jeans and some Doc Martens. And then they have, like, the toy plastic claws on him, and like, and this one guy was like, oh, and he stumbled, and I just happened to be walking next to him, and he's like, oh, drop my claws, which I thought was a great interaction to have. And I go, no one did that. He's like, I gotta get to work.
And how many boobs did you see?
So many boobs. Thank you, dear. So like, it is insane, Kevin. Like, because here's the thing. Now, like, there will. I would say 2 to 3% were the, you know, kind of nerdy, maybe kind of hot chick, or maybe a little. I don't want to sound critical. I'm just saying it for observation's sake. No, like Diane Fossey watching the gorillas in the mist. Okay.
It's fine.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Like these girls that were overweight wearing over tight costumes, which I think is great. Like, I'm not saying, like, there were some girls. Like, here's what it made me think. If I was to go back in high school, I would never try to find a hot chick again.
Why?
I would only try to bag a nerdy chick. Only.
Go on.
Because they have to be the freakiest, awesomest chicks in the world. I mean, seriously.
But you don't need the freak. I mean, this isn't the dad show, but I've had conversations with you. You don't need the freak.
I don't need. I do, because I'm not a freak.
No, I see.
You know what I mean? Like, it's nice if a girl, like, initiates some a little bit. That's what Natalie does. My wonderful wife. Every once in a while,
Mother
she'll get a little.
Children.
Yeah, she'll get a little, you know, what I call soft core. You know what I mean?
There's a chandelier involved somewhere.
There's some kind of weirdness going on, something that you would find on some kind of internet situation. Or something like that, you know, where it's like, oh, thank you for loving me in this manner. But it's respectful. Like, afterwards, you know, it's not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you hold each other, sing songs.
Exactly.
Read from the Book of Song of Solomon.
Awesome. That's what we do. That's our routine. That's regular. When we get freaky, we roll Revelation.
That would be freaky. Song of Solomon is a dirty book. Look it up.
Oh, man. But anyway.
So, boobs.
So, and the level of hot, there's two kinds of hot chicks, and this is kind of leading into my next thing, is that...
needs to be a t-shirt. There are two types of hot chicks.
At Comic-Con. There's the hot chick that, like, because here's what I like. I like, one, the girl that has a good, like, a nice curvy figure, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And she's wearing a tight outfit, and she knows what she's bringing, yep. you know? And it may not be...
And what
be,
would she be dressed up as?
Usually some kind of what I would call a self-made-up superhero.
So there was a probably lot of something from anime or something.
Yeah,
you may not know it.
I may not
like Sailor
know it.
Moon.
It looked less like anime, more like this is me making up a superhero costume.
Yeah, yeah,
I felt a lot of like the old like early 80s like French cut, high cut like bathing suit bottoms where it's like, you know what I mean? There was a lot of that. And then
a lot of Princess Leia.
Ton of Princess Leia in the slave outfit. Like, if it was Comedy Sports, we would retire that costume.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. honestly, like, because here's the thing. I think the ladies are more creative than the Princess Leia outfit. You know what I mean? I think they could do better. Like, I think that, why limit it to that? Because we've seen it. You know what I mean? Why
it's
be
a
wallflower?
Metal bikini.
I know.
With, like, a towel in front of their crotch.
I know, and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan.
Does Natalie have one?
No. Yeah. Oh, we've never done, the dress-up thing.
Yeah, but just to wear it around the house.
Like to clean up?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You should
I
get
wish.
One. Yeah.
See what I mean?
You
I need
do.
I need the nerdy freak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
So anyway, my wife.
You have a rule.
Plays Guild
Don't
Wars.
Don't break your rule. She made it. She decorated a character. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But so these girls like are confident in their own bodies, which is really sexy. You know what I mean? And then there's the girls that you could.
Well,
tell,
you gotta be. I mean, they're walking around in a bathing suit, a metal bathing suit, in front of everybody.
And that girl has also layers. You know, much like a role playing game character. She you know, those
Do you
chicks,
have to roll a dice to find out more?
Yeah.
You have to get a 7 or more to ask her
I
out.
I think it takes more than a 20 to kill her self-esteem, is what I'm saying.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, but then there's the chicks that you're like, normally you would never know who they are, but you know, but this is their one time to let their freak flag fly, and you could still see they feel a little uncomfortable in their skin, and here's a heads up. If you are that chick, let it go. Because nobody cares, honestly. Like, seriously, you could be the ugliest. Even if you're the ugliest chick in the world, then I'm not going to look at you, honestly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm still going to look at you. Like, there's
what are you talking about,
what I'm saying, what I'm saying is, it's kind of like what we talk about with audiences, right? They're empathetic. Men are empathetic. Sure. In that, if you feel comfortable wearing a French cut bikini or a metal bikini with a towel in front of your loins, then awesome. I'm into it.
I'm going to point of order. Uh-huh.
Yes, Mr. Miller.
If Carrie Fisher put on the Princess Leia outfit now and walked around Comic-Con, I would not be into it.
I would.
Have you seen her lately?
I know. That's my point exactly.
Please unpack this craziness.
My point is, if she feels comfortable in her own skin.
But cougars are comfortable in their own
skin. There's an animal in your brain. Yeah. You know there's an animal in your brain that you're going to look, right?
Sure.
Or maybe you've controlled that. You've got a leash on that animal enough, a little bit of a choke chain.
Yeah, but I mean,
look. Or a spike collar where you can go, no.
Animal is then going to kind of throw up in its own mouth. No. Like, that's
really
a lot of leathery skin.
You know. I've yet to see a scantily clad woman that I'm like repulsed by, that I'm like, oh no.
Do you remember working at theme parks?
Yes. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Point of order now.
Yes, Mr.
Remember
Orson.
Remember the old cat lady living in the front of the building and my little experience walking around the corner, seeing her bent over, which her body somehow ate underwear if she had it on.
Dear God, what story are you about to tell?
There was a lot of cellulite. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And an old lady. And here's the thing. Even when I saw that, I didn't judge, but for whatever reason, because I knew she smelled, that's what bothered me. Move on.
So you're not saying that you checked her out?
No, I didn't mean to. Like, I came around the corner.
Barely make it through this door.
Yes.
Like, would have to turn sideways to make it through this door.
Yeah, but it's not because she's big. I want to make that clear. You know, I can't sit here being a little hefty myself. And, you know,
that's
what I mean?
Not what I'm talking about. But see, you look good. Like, you've had girls throw themselves at you. Always
never,
have.
Never.
Yeah, well, you didn't notice and they fell flat on their face like an angry bird at Conan's face.
They're very popular. They don't need promotion, these chicks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the girls that have thrown... Anyway. But the cellulite and the unattractiveness...
It doesn't bother me. Honestly, right. If I saw Carrie Fisher... Because there's two things. I mean, I know I'm taking it overly literal, but there's two... You're seeing Carrie Fisher in the outfit. She's the one who created the outfit.
Yeah. Well,
you know
she
what I mean?
Created.
She had a little bit of a cocaine habit to be able to make it so hot. You know what I mean?
Did she really?
Oh, yeah. I think she talks about it on the special where
she had some serious body issues and they were making her wear that stuff.
She developed an eating disorder and all that stuff. That's why she's, you know, hefty now. But still,
okay, not Carrie Fisher. Roseanne Barr.
Still, I would be into it.
Whatever.
We've talked about this on the show. Maybe it's true. I have horrible taste in women.
You're one
now,
of
am
a
I going to want to go up to her and like and go? Am I going to ruin a marriage over her? No.
No, that's not what
I'm. But I'm not going to look at her and go. Oh, God. Blah, oh. You know, that's not going to happen. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make a noise.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I guess I understand your point. Continue.
So I'm just saying, ladies, just find the comfort in knowing that if you are a woman.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how big or small your breasts are, okay?
Or how many you have.
Or how many chesticles you're bringing, okay?
More.
We are on board.
Muffin top. Muffins.
We are on board. And listen to Kevin and I talk. Kevin has a different opinion on women, but there's still a guy who is out there who is like me, who's like, yes. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you for coming in the slave outfit.
I'm not actually advocating anybody putting on the slave outfit. I think that there is a little bit about modesty and appropriateness.
Yeah, you know,
I think you wear the slave outfit at home with your wife.
That's my next thing.
You don't wear it. You wear what? Anyway. Boring story.
We trade off. But my point is...
I wear the top. She wears the bottom.
My point is that the more comfortable you feel in your skin... The more guys are comfortable, like with, because that's what I would catch my animal in me going, hey, what's that? What's going on over there?
I see
some hips. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would go, boom. And then if I looked up at her, like at her face, and she looked uncomfortable, like I would feel bad. But then there are the chicks who are like, yeah, I want the attention. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And those are the real, you know how they always make fun of the girls who are on talk shows who are like, I used to be so awkward and nerdy when I was, and now I'm Cameron Diaz. You know what I mean? So these are the real girls, like the real deal homie feel girls. Yeah. They're like to their roots, nerdy and awkward. And then all of a sudden they got pow-pow. No. And they're like, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. Guess what? Because mama didn't have a prom date. And I'm making up for it now. I'm bringing it. I'm bringing sexy back.
Do you want to play Catwoman with me?
Yeah. I'm going to lock you up with my batarang.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was there the kit there?
No, she's dead.
Yeah, it's sad.
She was there in spirit.
Yeah. Never forget.
Kevin Blackton.
45 minutes of silence. We'll go with 4 seconds.
Then you pile that onto, which those are the chicks that I was like, I really wanted to just sit down and have a conversation with, yeah. to be honest. Like,
with and, holding a thing over your Nickelodeon name badge. So you
no,
can,
I can say whatever. And then there were the girls that they hire, the street marketing teams, which I think is very interesting because I only saw it work once.
The booth babes?
Yeah, but I didn't. I saw a few booth babes on their way in. But what I was talking about, like, there were two chicks that there was two examples that I want to talk about. One was that there were chicks wearing literally next to nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
booth
a man.
Babes hired to do
they
that.
Were not booth babes, though. This is like,
just
to me.
People like Princess Leia costumes wearing leather thongs.
They're paid. Like, okay, there's booth babes that are paid to be in the booth, and then there are street market teams
that are
paid to be out there in downtown to drum up interest. Yeah. Now, there was one that was like, I think for poing, I want to say, or I can't even remember because
poing?
I was too busy looking at their midriff. I don't know. It was on their boobs, and I felt uncomfortable looking there. So I went south of the border, and I saw their midriff, and I was like, all right.
I'll check that out.
What's up, belly button with a fishing lure in there? I see that little shiny thing for me and my animal brain to go, I'm interested. but this is a different example. So the poing girls were wearing like navy blue mini skirts, a white midriff shirt, and they had capes on, right? And they were nice ladies.
Yeah. And they're paid to be there.
Yes. And there was a guy who's a nerd who, any other situation, would probably never approach these women.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be friendly with them. And they're paid to be like, oh, okay, you know. Yeah. But they're not good at it. And it really pissed me off. Like, I wanted to go up to go, listen, bitches. He right there is the reason you have a paycheck, okay? This guy has 5 days out of the year where he gets to go up and he gets to talk to a girl that looks like you. And you get to help him out. You get to just be like, oh, okay. Can't you just be a human being? Do you honestly...
Were they cold to him? I don't understand.
A
Where
little
did
bit. Like, they were
from?
Trying to smile and be friendly because they're on the clock, but also send a signal of, like, it's not going to happen, buddy. Like, do you really... Because here's the thing. You could tell by the body language. It's not like... He's not like some guy in a visor and some flip-flops and a Big Johnson, like, shirt with some beer-swilling joke on the back of it. He's just a nice guy who's trying to... Maybe he's feeling like he's in his environment. This is his home turf. And he's like, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Green Lantern. I'm going to share it with you about the 5 different colors or whatever, however many there are. You know what I mean?
And is that just, really what he was talking about?
No. I just,
oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, there's a vibe of, like, he's like, hey, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing, but, you know, like, he was... I could tell that he was kind of saying, do you want to go do this? Because this is what's going on here. Or maybe he was even trying to educate them about their product, which is another point that a lot of these... You find these hot women, and then they get talking points, but they're not really connected to what is going on.
Yeah.
And I think that the marketing people at Comic-Con could really... I'm not kidding. There were a ton of hot women there who were into what was there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you could easily send out some kind of tweet and say, listen, if you know everything there is to know about Guild Wars 2... Send us a picture. And if you're willing to put on a bikini and talk to people about it, we're going to give you X amount of dollars.
Got it, yeah.
And you wouldn't need these chicks that are trying to pretend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because as a nerd, too, to me, like, I felt uncomfortable talking to them when I'm like... Because it feels like a strip club.
Yeah, you'd rather... Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing I don't like about a strip club is that, like, listen, I like to look at ladies, but I also like to have ladies be interested in me for real. All right? I don't want my $20. I don't want Andrew Hamilton to make you interested in me. All right? I don't want the third party involved. I just want me and you, okay? That's all I want.
This is from Grand Theft Auto. That's your reference point, just so we're all clear.
So what was I saying? Oh, so these other two girls, though, were wearing, like...
Street teams?
Okay, like, I want
street
you...
Street teams? These are street teams?
These are street
Thank
team
you.
Girls that... There were two girls just walking, and there's a guy who's, like, 3 feet behind him, who's there, like an escort would come to a bachelor party, like, strippers for a bachelor party. Like, he's just hanging back and supposed to blend in until somebody grabs one of her giblets, and then he elbows him. You know, like, that's it, get out of here, buddy.
Giblets.
I don't even know what that is. I've never seen a giblet on a woman. It's what they use to make McNuggets.
Yeah, it's the part of the chicken you throw away.
Not on these ladies. No.
Nice giblets.
So these chicks are walking at me, and they are wearing an outfit that could only be described as what a woman who has a lot of sexual energy pinned up inside her would wear on her honeymoon night.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
There's a
is
lot.
Is it like White Queen kind of stuff? Or?
It's like black with a lot of frilly lace around what is like a 2-inch by 2-inch piece of fabric that is covering where I would imagine her business end. You know what I mean? I don't have to imagine because I could see.
Because you could see the areas where the business end was covered.
like the minimal amount of coverage was involved.
Wow.
And these girls are talking with each other with the same casual conversation that I would assume only happens on a porn set.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like. And like what, like honestly, and I know that we have a lot of young guys who listen to the show, and I'm sorry if I'm being too graphic, but I just like I want to. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I do think that there is a certain misunderstanding of what men are interested in, and I'm hoping that the young guys listening to this know, because I know that myself as a young nerd that I'm now finding out was we joked about being in the friend zone a lot, and some guy even wrote us in and said, you know, hey, it's okay to be a friend. Yes,
yeah.
It is okay to be a decent guy. And I looked at this, like one woman had a tattoo below her navel that if she wasn't manicured, you wouldn't be able to read it.
Wow.
And I could read it. Like, I didn't know what it said because I saw lettering, and I'm like, I was uncomfortable just standing there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't necessary.
Right.
Like, this isn't what this is, in my opinion, this isn't what anybody really wants. Like, it's what
not
marketing
in public.
It's what marketing teams, and this is my final point about Comic-Con, is that there's a lot of marketing teams that are taking general blanket approaches, like sex sells and... Yeah. And if people see things five times, then they're going to remember it.
Yeah.
And it, whatever, if we get the biggest restaurant and all that, that's the way to market to these people. And I really think that with the internet and things being on demand, that things are shifting, and that what really matters is targeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you target, and that's what I told my street teams. I'm like, listen, you're there with 50 other street team people. I said, get out of that area because you're just white noise.
Yeah.
I said, get up the street. I don't care if we're not at the major, because there was like a bottleneck that's where everybody was because that's where everybody was told to be. And I would say, you know what? Go two blocks out of that area.
Yeah.
And when people walk by, just say, hey, I'm here with Monkey Quest, or hey, we're here with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. People will come up to you.
Yeah,
if they hear Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they'll be like, what? There's something for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in. Yeah, what's up? And it happened. It happened. That was, and I think that if they spent more time paying attention to what and who these people were and less time thinking, well, this is just how things sell, this is how we do things, that there would be so much more money to spend on actual content. And diversifying the content and like just the amount of paper and plastic that was given out this weekend that will eventually be thrown away, not even maybe even seen, but that will just be eventually trashed is insane. And I know that I'm being overly idealistic because I honestly looked around every time I walked by. Only one time in the entire weekend did I see a piece of stuff that we gave out on the ground.
Oh.
And it's because I told the guys, we're not here just a blanket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You find the people that are interested in what you're selling and they'll come to you. That's what this whole event is for, is that they said, we're going to gather everything you're interested in and we're going to put it right here and you can come and be a part of it. So why would we market it in any different way?
Right.
Now look at me, I'm getting on a soapbox.
I love it.
But
are you doing this next year, or can we go and enjoy Comic-Con?
We could just go and enjoy.
Let's do it.
Lots of Princess Leia's.
Did you get paid a lot? Was it worth it?
No, yeah, it was. I got Daddy did all right.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you need to do the event again.
I would go. Here's what I would do. I would go and do the event again just to get us passes.
Oh,
because then, because honestly, like if I went, I honestly think if I went and I, after a day, I would be done.
Yeah.
Like I'd be like, okay, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
But I think someone like you, because there's so much history that I'm not aware of.
Right.
That frustrates me.
Well, it's good education. I could go for a day. I talked to some guys today that said that they went one all day and they're like, it was exhausting. It's too much. Too much to do in one day.
Because I think there are very few panels that I would want to be a part of, you know what I mean, that I'd want to see. But yeah, I think a day would be enough for me. The other thing I want to talk about too, which I thought was really cool, but is that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, like the unveiling that Nickelodeon was doing, was a really cool idea and concept that I thought was quasi poorly executed. But the fans, like this is speaking to my point, the true fans, like they had 350 tickets for a place that held 225 people, and they were paranoid that there weren't going to be enough people there. They were super paranoid.
Wow.
And like we kept saying, like people will come, and here's what happened is that I honestly didn't know what was going to happen because there's no way to guarantee.
Yeah.
But the hardcore fans came out. Now, did they find 225 people for the three events that they had? They basically ran the same thing three times so that they could get enough coverage. No, But here's what happened. They wanted the big one to be at 6 o'clock, which was at the end.
Yeah.
But here's what they didn't understand. If you have one that's earlier, the hardcore fans are going to find out about it, and they want to be there first.
Sure, of course.
They want to get there early, and they want to get it done, and they want to see it because yeah. they're that excited.
They want to be first. They, and they want
had
it now.
They had it at Pizza Place, which was really cool. And then that's fun. Cool. It's interesting because it's the same thing that they do at E3, where they get some CEO, some executive to get up there and talk about something that he really has no real idea. Yeah. He calls
or,
like,
or he may have a too good of a good idea, but no presentation skills, no ability yeah. to dither it down or make it interesting. He's just like, he can tell you about how much time they spent figuring out the Rumble Shock. I could care less. what this guy, your algorithms were for that.
This guy, who I think is some guy at Nickelodeon Animation, yeah. he was a very charming guy, very nice guy. And
what was
I
his
think,
name?
I don't remember. He had a
Bob
he had
Hart?
A, no, okay. I don't know. It might have been. But he's a short guy with black hair. I don't know yeah. if that helps. But he had a yeah, very big desire
like
to
Bob
give
Bob
the...
like a short
no. Okay. No. He had a very big desire to give the audience what they wanted. Like he was excited about that.
Did he have wings? Did he have big wings on his back?
No, but was that's he... coming. they
Did he shoot anybody? Did he throw
no.
an Angry Bird?
He did shoot some bribes or barbs.
Did he take a bribe?
No, he
was I'm he wearing sure a Princess awkward. Leia outfit?
Yes, he was. A metal bikini. No, wait, no. He went white. He went traditional.
Oh,
white.
Did it?
It was tasteful.
Very oh, that's
tasteful.
Very nice. He was wearing white, tidy whities.
Yeah. I think it might have been Amidala because he did have a midriff. Yeah, an Amidala. Amidala. Anyway.
Sounds like a waxing technique. Can I get the Amidala?
Oh, that's without the Danishes on the side. But same basic look.
Exactly.
So anyway, so he gets up there and he's talking about it, and then he brings people up that are in charge of the show. And it's funny because it's like, I'm an executive. I wear a button-up shirt every day to work. Blah, 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 blah. You know? And then it's like, then he brings these people up who you could tell are like, they're just sitting there and they're like, and they're super.
To bring the accountant up. Yeah, I write a paycheck. We use QWERTY. It's a, I like
it's
to run
QWERTY.
It through.
It's a keyboard?
It's a keyboard-based program. We use a database to remember their names and addresses.
We do 6 hours of sexual harassment orientation that yep. we pay people time and a half for. Cost-benefit analysis, if you see here. No, it's the opposite. Is that they have this one executive guy, and then they bring up the people that everybody wants to hear from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that these are the creative team. And these are like, it's like... it's like us getting together to talk about video games, and Peyton Manning is going to be the moderator. That's what it's like. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, you mean the EA presentation.
Yeah, like it's like...
At
it's,
E3.
It's like, why can't we just talk directly to each other? Like, yeah. just bring the executive producer up, because here's what... The executive producer that they hired, he studied ninjutsu for 2 years, or a specific kind of ninjutsu that he said that I can't remember. And,
was it
they,
fruit ninjutsu?
You're so proud of yourself. They bring this guy up, and it's just funny to watch the stage energy shift to yeah. where it's like, oh, there's more. The people that are on watching are the same as the people on there now.
Oh,
and then they go, so we're going to do this thing. And then the guy always has to pretend like it's never happened before, which nobody believes. But he's like, we're going to open this up to like a Q&A. We haven't done this. So let's start with you. And he makes it seem like we're going to ask questions to everybody.
Yeah,
but then he just goes down the line. And I saw all three presentations. He asked the same question every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was really cool in that one of the guys behind the creative team wants to make the Ninja Turtles real ninjas. Like, he wants the fighting style to be... And he said, there's a specific kind of ninjutsu that I studied for 2 years, and it is hard. I've been doing it for a long time. Or not 2 years. I think it's even longer, because wow. I've been doing it for a long time, and I am not good at it.
Wow.
He said, and the guy that I've trained with... studied this form, started becoming a martial arts master of ninjutsu because of Teenage Mutant Ninja
wow,
Turtles.
Wow, that's cool.
And when I told him I was involved with this project, he lost his mind. That's what he said. He goes, so I cannot screw this up because he'll kill me.
That's cool.
And then they have this guy who, the director of the show, was involved in a bunch of other shows, and he was a big-time Ninja Turtle fan mm-hmm. from way back. And so... So they bring those guys up, and that was like, oh, this is interesting. And then immediately those guys go away. That's it. Three questions. They unveil the toys, which were really cool looking. And then they show you some of the art, conception art. And then they what they kept calling it a sneak peek, and I thought, oh, they're gonna watch. They're gonna watch the trailer. They have no idea when the show is coming. So they're just giving people pizza, saying, "Hey, the show's coming sometime next year, ish."
Yeah, that's how Nickelodeon rocks.
And then, then they play this trailer, and I was so happy to see this. Like, I'm gonna get the movies, even though they're horrible, but I'm gonna get the live action movies for my son to
watch. They're not terrible.
No,
that first one's really fun.
I agree. Maybe I'm being too hard on them.
The third one is terrible. Yeah. The third one was
bad. Oh, there's
bad.
Three. I only remember two.
Yeah, Turtles in Time.
Oh, let's do this.
They go back to Samurai
Land.
Let's
do this. I'm so excited.
Let's do it.
But here's what happened is like it brought out again this idea that I'm like, I was so into Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. Yeah. And now I'm going to be able to share that with my son. And it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And they unveil the toys, and then they play this little trailer, and it's all the guys moving around and stuff. And the hardcore fans like, yeah, I love it. And then they have this hilarious moment where he breaks down the characters, and they've twisted some things. They've changed a little bit of things. Like, yeah. They thought it was creepy that April was a 30-year-old woman hanging around with teenage turtles.
I would agree.
So they made her 16. And
that's right. They sure did.
And so to bring her back into, to make her relevant even more so, she's going to train with Splinter and become a Konoichi, which is a female ninja. Mm-hmm. And this guy goes, Konoichi, he says to the programming guy or whatever that was up there. He goes, Kono what? He goes, it's Konoichi. He goes, oh, I was told Kono. He goes, well, I have a real ninja coming up later, so I'm going to ask him. Right? And that's the executive producer. So when he comes up, he goes, is it Konoichi or Konoichi? And then the guy says, well, you could. And then the guy who yelled at him earlier, he goes, well, it's pronounced both ways. And then the programming guy, this is what made him charming and great. And you could tell he loves what he's doing. But he goes, now it can pronounce both ways. Earlier, when it's just me up here, oh, let's bust the guy in the button-up shirt. But now you could say it both ways. I see
how it is. Ninja's here. That's awesome.
But they're running around, and then he defines Leonardo as how he's like, he watches this show, which I think is a part of the series I remember. He watches this show that's kind of based on Star Trek.
Yeah.
And that's
the episode I auditioned for. Yeah. So I read for those two characters. The
Star Trek characters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Captain funny. Something or other.
Yeah, Captain Kirk-like character that Leonardo wants to be the leader like him, right? Yeah. So they're running around, and then they stop, and they're all posed, and you don't see who they're facing. You just see them in this cool ninja pose, and Leonardo's in the front, and he goes, halt, evildoers!
Yeah.
And then there's like this pause where they just sit there, and then Raphael says, he goes, did you just say halt, evildoers? And it was so well done, because then Leonardo's eyes just dart around, like unsure of himself, and then there's a little beat, and then Raphael says, who says that? And then Leonardo goes, we do. We're heroes. And then that was it.
That's awesome.
So that was all you saw of the show was that little moment. A very funny moment, but not quite a sneak peek.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
Here's why I said all that. And I'm getting very long-winded about this Comic-Con thing.
That was 10 minutes.
I know. But after the first presentation, there are people who, multiple websites and message boards are devoted to the Ninja Turtles. Yeah. And there are people that are older than I am. That are so like completely adorned with outfits.
Yeah.
And there was one guy, oh gosh, he was so awesome. I have his picture somewhere, but he was wearing like a cool cutesy Ninja Turtle outfit where it was like a head that looked like the Ninja Turtle head, but his face was in the mouth and it buttoned underneath his chin.
Cool.
And it had like a shell that was kind of billowy, right? And he was with this unbelievably gorgeous Latina girl who was wearing like the shell was like a corset, like,
wow,
and she had a painted on mask. And
cool.
This chick was so good looking, I wanted to hug him and be like, well done, buddy. Well,
I wanted to hug him.
I did. I wanted to. I just wanted to, like,
you were the most interesting person I know.
I just want to have that camaraderie of, because you know that never happened. Everybody thinks it, but nobody, he never gets to say, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's such a cool thing.
Maybe they have a really important metaphysical.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care, but it's just such a great thing because I was at the tail end of it, but there isn't a lot of examples other than John Hughes movies of where the nerdy guy gets the girl. You know what I mean? And now seeing Comic-Con 2011, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Right.
It is good.
Because we're nice people.
Exactly.
We're
That's
good
all
people.
It, like, it, there's a shift where it's no longer, I think, and maybe I'm still wrong, maybe because what I'm seeing is the smaller subculture that isn't a complete representation.
It's because the Comic-Con crowd is where it's at.
Yes.
We've got the cool thing everybody wants to be a part of.
I think
It is cool to be cool.
And it was so great to see, like, senior citizens there.
Yeah, I believe
They it. Give senior citizens. I found out from this guy at a taco shop who was sitting next to me. He was like, he goes, you know how much it cost me? It cost me half what it costs. It cost
oh,
me.
That's great.
For one day, for what one other person pays for one day, I get the whole
it's
week.
It's because they can't do the whole thing.
Because they want old people there.
It's because they can't do the whole thing.
They want gray hairs there so bad.
Gray hairs. cares?
I don't know why, but I thought it was great.
To give it validity. And it's probably good for locals, because San Diego is going to have a lot of the senior citizens in it.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah. There were a lot of families that were local and, sure. and coming out. And yeah, a lot of the Sundays was Kids Day, which I thought, like, going into Comic-Con as a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old, it must be the weirdest, like, drug
experience.
Yeah,
I was talking to a guy today, and he's like, I don't really understand why you'd take a toddler to Comic-Con.
My bad.
What? It's just, it's sensory overload, and it's nonsense. It's like going to booths, and it's not something, it's worse than an amusement park.
I think that's why they have a kids' day, because I think it's the exact opposite of that. Think that you look around, there's so much to see, you're just like, oh, and then people are constantly giving you free stuff.
Oh, maybe that's
And you're like,
it,
oh, my gosh. Like, I went up to, it was funny, too, because they were giving out these little Transformer Lego figures, and I go, hey, can I get one of those? I have a 2-year-old, and the guy was like, kid has to be present. And I was like, wow, that's kind of a weird mentality. Yeah, you know? I was like, all right. Like, I didn't really care.
Sure.
But I was like this is why the other thing I told, because they were trying that's to make funny. People do tricks for, like, the bags that everybody wanted.
Yeah,
I said, honestly, I would rather represent our client as somebody who's generous in giving that just didn't have enough to give, because there's always people who want more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Than have it be like, those jerks made me do a trick for the bag.
You know
what I mean? Because they were saying, they were giving out Monkey Quest bags, and they were saying, give me your best monkey impression. And so people are going, whoo, 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 to get the bags. And you would get the dad, who's super macho. He's like, ah, come on. And like, no, I'm sorry, buddy,
Sure.
And there's 8 of them, one of him, and eventually he caved. You know, like, the things I do for my kid, that kind of thing. But then somebody came up and said, that's kind of racist that you're making people do monkey impressions.
Give me a break.
It happened. And I was
people are stupid.
Yeah, that's
how is
I
it
said.
Racist? You're racist because you think it has to do with monkeys.
Bingo.
Y'all, that's
Bingo.
Just
Because, yeah, if you have a black person do a monkey impression, it's because you're better than them.
That's
stupid. Yeah, it was horrible.
That person needs to be
So I said, just let it
face.
Go. Just give people the bags. Who cares? And then they came up. What I did like, though, is we had t-shirts, because we had leftover t-shirts. And on the last day, we were just giving those out. And one of the guys in the street team we were giving out these banana codes. And so he put it down next to them. And they watched it, and if somebody saw it, went, oh, even if they were like, oh, I want this, or, oh, there's a piece of litter on the ground, I'm going to pick this up. As soon as they pick it up, they would all go, ding, 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 you're a winner, and they'd give them a t-shirt.
Nice.
And everybody's good. Like, oh, thanks.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
At Guild Wars 2, they said that the 8th profession is going to be highly controversial, which is the first information we've gotten, that it may not be a mesmer, which is important to me. I just read that.
I thought the 8th profession was an engineer.
No, that was the 7th. Yeah.
Wow.
Are you going to play this game with us? My wife and I play Guild Wars all the time.
I don't know. Comic-Con did do this to me. I am definitely going to buy a copy of DC Universe Online.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Really? I played it at E3 and was thoroughly unamused.
Yeah?
We should talk about it. We should talk about it right now, but show's over. I was thinking about it earlier today. I was reading a comic book, and I was like, comic books are so dynamic and so interesting, and there's so much action and dialogue, and that DC Universe was none of that. It was just another game where avatars are running around touching stuff, and nothing made sense at all.
Oh, no.
And I was like, and that was what you put on E3 floor. I was unimpressed.
They had all the Green Lantern levels that looked you could tell their characters had become Green Lanterns.
Oh, cool.
And they were letting you play as different versions of Green Lantern or whatever.
But
I didn't touch it because I'm not smart like that. Like, I could have walked up and played a lot of stuff. They had Gears of War 3 there. They had that's the other thing it made me want to do, is that I kind of lost interest in the first, like, second level of the last Metal Gear game had on PS3. Now I'm going back into it. I'm going to like, let's do this. In.
It's good. It reignited your geekness. Welcome back to the awesome side.
Yeah.
My wife bought your son a SpongeBob comic book in honor of Comic-Con this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's why she did that? That's cool.
She did.
That's
fun. We were at the comic book store, and it keeps her busy while I look at stuff if she thinks she can buy something for him. So I let her, and then she's like, does he have SpongeBob? I'm like, get him Iron Man. He has enough Iron Man. I'm like,
well,
whatever.
She likes to read so much. Why can't she? Do you think that she
That is
ever...
a good point. Well, I should find something. I got to find the right segue thing, because, again, with Guild Wars, I did not see that coming, that it was about the lists. And, like, I got to figure out a book. Something like Twilight.
Something Twilight-ish.
It's got some love romance or some magic. She loves Harry Potter. She's a geek and she don't know it. We'll have her in this slave outfit by next Comic-Con, by 2012.
It's going to make me feel
It's going to be great.
Like, honestly, like, if,
She'll be pregnant by then, most likely. So she'll be like, pregnant Princess Leia. Oh, my gosh. This is the best idea ever. You're doing your celebrity as a celebrity, and my wife is going as pregnant Princess Leia.
I think she just goes as Amidala for the real. Like, I love it. Yeah, the last movie. That's what you do.
Get your Comic-Con on. We got it.
All right. That's been our show. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. What else do I need to say? I think that's it. Need to turn that down. I'll tell you that right now. I thought you were going to play us out on that.
No,
anyway,
that's good.
Yeah, so please tell your friends about the show. Next week we'll go through emails because we already have a ton. I know. I'm sorry I didn't read your email.
Hey, here's the thing you should know about emails is that don't just type notes to the show we're doing and send it to us as an email. That does not count. You put together a cohesive thought or reaction to something we've talked about, and we will read that. We will no longer read your notes on our show. That is not an email.
And also, in the first line, please say, please do not read this on the air.
Yeah. If you don't want it read on the email.
I literally go down the list.
Yeah, exactly.
I just go down the list.
No more.
And I know that it's a lot of it has to do with what I've seen this weekend, but I honestly cannot tell you guys enough how much it means to me. I don't think I could speak for Kevin too.
Absolutely,
that you listen to the show, that you engage on the Facebook, and that you enjoy it. It honestly, what it taught me is I've been having this weird thing. I'm talking too much. I need to stop. I'm gonna button it up, but I've had this weird thing where I'm like, well, I want to stay home with my family, but I like doing stand-up, and I like doing the podcast, and yada, yada, yada. And I've kind of realized that the reason I would do this even if there is no money in it, and I'm still doing it, and I love doing it.
Yeah.
So just keep listening and keep enjoying, and I appreciate the hell out of it.
Absolutely. Somebody also asked for my Guild Wars name. I've said it on a previous episode. Actually, the one where we released our names the first time. So go back there and listen.
And I love that everything is a scavenger. As much as I love you listening and writing emails, Kevin loves watching the download numbers go up.
Oh, yeah. We're up to 426 on the Facebook. We're just jumping like mad. I love it. Tell your friends.
We get well over, I think we're well over 10,000 downloads.
We have you to thank. You.
Me.
The person.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm only talking to you now. Way to go.
Well done.
You win.
On behalf of my good
friend.
You're
my Princess Leia.
Go.
Pregnant? On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.